Good afternoon, everyone. The Labor, Industry, Veterans, and Military Affairs, Finance, and Policy Committee will come to order. I would like to announce that this meeting will take place in accordance with House Rule 10.01. This meeting may be viewed on the House Public Information TV, which is available on the House website. As is custom with this committee, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Petrie, please take the roll.
Chair Eklund.
Present.
Chair Eklund, present. Representative Zhang.
Present.
Representative Zhang, present. Representative Detmer.
Present.
Representative Detmer, present. Representative McDonald.
Present.
Representative McDonald, present. Representative Berg.
Present.
Representative Berg, present. Representative Bliss.
Present.
Representative Bliss, present. Representative Edelson.
Present.
Representative Edelson, present. Representative Frederick.
Present.
Representative Frederick, present. Representative Greenman. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, present.
Representative Nelson, present. Representative Poston. Representative Raleigh.
Raleigh, present.
Representative Raleigh, present. Representative Sundin.
Present.
Representative Sundin, present. And Mr. Chair, we do have a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Petrie. A quorum is present. Next on the agenda is approval of minutes from February 8th, 2022. Representative Detmer, have you checked out the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Chair, and I checked them out, and they are good to go.
Representative Detmer moves the minutes from February 8th, 2022. Any questions, additions, or deletions? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. Motion is adopted. Members, we have four bills on the agenda today. The first one is for Representative David's House File 2561. I will move that House File 2561 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Welcome, Representative Davis. Davids, please introduce your bill.
Thank you. It's 2561, right? House File 2561.
Yes.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. This bill would provide funding for the Preston Veterans Home for some items that have been cut back on, about $1 million for road to get up to the site. Chair Eklund, you were unable to be at the groundbreaking. You had other issues going on, but on August 9th, we had a groundbreaking in Preston, and we're so blessed to have with us Governor Walz, Congressman Hagedorn, a lot of senators, a lot of state reps. I know Representative Detmer came down, and we had quite a day. And so the building is going on. It's moving forward. We have several folks from the city of Preston. This is the Preston Veterans Home we're talking about. And as you know, there's also one going up in Montevideo and one in Bemidji. So first of all, Mr. Chair, I'd like to thank you for your help on this. Representative Detmer, John Hulquist, Representative Miller and Bliss, to make this thing work, but we want to hear from the folks from Preston, and there's a whole list of people to thank there, and I probably won't go there because I always forget somebody and then I hear about it later, which is not a good thing. So what we're asking for is appropriations. The position, and I don't know if the department's there, but they are not endorsing or necessarily supporting this bill, but they're not opposing this bill. This is not in the governor's proposed budget. This is in addition to that. And I have to have a shout out to Ben Johnson and especially Commissioner Herkey. When building costs were going up so tremendously, they were able to adjust some funds and keep these projects moving. And so my hat off to Commissioner Herkey and the department for making this work when it didn't look so good there for a while, but it was all put together now. We're coming back in and asking for some additional funds for the Preston Veterans Home. So Mr. Chairman, if I could turn it over to the folks at City Hall and Preston there, if they could introduce themselves and provide testimony.
Thank you, Representative David. I've always found that if you start trying to name people and you forget something, you're in trouble. So you just thank everybody and leave the names out. So first on the test fires list is Joe Hoffman, City of Preston Administrator. Mr. Hoffman, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Chair Eklund members. Good afternoon, Chair Eklund members of the committee. Actually, I believe Gabby Kindenberg, our Economic Development Director, will testify first for the City of Preston.
Great.
Ms. Kindenberg, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony and welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Eklund and members of the committee. It is an honor to appear before you today. I am Gabby Kindenberg, Preston's EDA director, and with me is Joe, as he mentioned, and then we also have Don Gilner, veteran and co-chair of the Veteran Home Committee. We are here today to request supplemental funds for the Minnesota State Veterans Home here in Preston. This project, just to give you a little background, is a 54-bed skilled nursing facility, which will be bringing around 100 new jobs to the Preston area, which is great for our little community in Fillmore County. The effort to develop this home started in 2013 out of the realization that while a third of Minnesota's veterans live here, there were actually no skilled nursing homes in Southeast Minnesota. So several, you know, veterans were having to travel pretty far to get that care. State veterans homes are built through what's a multi-step process. As some of you probably know, this process starts with securing state and local funding. For our project, we were actually able to secure $1.2 million in local funds, which was pretty amazing. And then $10.2 million in state funds from the 2019 state bonding bill that we were very appreciative of. The great news is that the federal government does fund 2/3 of the project cost for a veteran home. The bad news is that sometimes those funds are very competitive. So it's kind of a roller coaster getting to that point of federal funding. But we were with the MDVA was just amazing. They submitted the federal application in 2020, and we were very excited to learn in March of 2021 that our project was included on the federal funding list. This was a huge victory for us. The veteran home right now is actually under construction. It's more than 10% of the way done. They have an 18-month timeline, and they have assured us they are on schedule to complete that construction on time. The MDVA does hope to open this facility by mid-2023. They just stopped by yesterday, actually, and said hopefully they'll be hiring within 6 months for the first positions. We've been very excited to see the progress, and it's been a great project for our community. Now, unfortunately, construction costs rose much more quickly than I think any of us could have ever anticipated, and this was further complicated by the COVID-19 pandemic. To keep the project on schedule, they did have to kind of come up with a long list of project items that were value engineered out of the project. Some of those items we feel very strongly are necessities for this project. You may have that list in front of you. Some of the things that were excluded, things like a canopy for the entrance drive, a transfer garage, which basically helps provide a safe environment for transferring people at the facility, whether they need emergency response professionals or just transferring them for transportation elsewhere. Porches, interior exterior finishes, a maintenance building, and then the big ticket item of an entrance drive for this facility. And a few of the upgrades we know may not be able to be added in at this point. Right now, as Representative Davids mentioned, we are asking for the $4.013 million to help get these items added back in. As I mentioned, the biggest ticket item is the entrance drive to the facility. The Preston home currently sits on a very beautiful blufftop site. It does require an 800-foot driveway into the site, and this was one of the very important items that was left off. To keep the project on schedule, we did acquire, and when I say we, the city, acquired additional land and really allowed for that to be a back entrance to the facility that really connects to a residential neighborhood. Without this supplemental funding, the back entrance will remain the only access to the site, and some of these really important items will not be included as part of this project. So just to conclude my portion here, Ron Scavel, a co-chair who typically is with us but couldn't be with us today of the Veteran Home Committee, he once said actually 4 years ago, almost to the day of today when I was looking back, it may seem like a lot of money, it may seem like a big ask, but in the grand scheme of things, with all the other things that the state invests in, this is not that big of a dollar amount to invest in the folks that have protected our country. So again, thank you for the time. On behalf of our Veteran Home Committee and veterans across the region, we really thank you all for the support. And I'm just gonna hand it off here, if that's okay, to Don Gilner, our co-chair of our Veteran Home Committee, and he just wants to say a few words to add on to that.
Thank you, Ms. Ginnenberg, for your testimony. Mr. Gilner, co-chair of Preston Veteran Home Committee, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Yeah, my name is Don Gilner from Preston, Minnesota. I'm a veteran. I've been the co-chair of the Veterans Committee, Veterans Home Committee since the beginning. And I appreciate the support you people have given us in the past for this project. I know it's a big project. The families and the veterans of Southeastern Minnesota are the ones that is going to benefit from this, and they really appreciate it. I hope we can take this home to the next level. It's kind of like we've been taking this thing and we've gotten to like almost the end of the fourth quarter and not quite making it. And this funding is going to help a lot as far as being able to finish our home and be as good as any home in Minnesota or the United States. Thank you today for taking the time out to talk to us. I know you guys are very busy and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gilner. Mr. Hoffman, did you have any other comments to add?
Chair Eklund, members of the committee, again, I'm Joe Hoffman, the city administrator for the city of Preston. Before we stand for questions, I did have just two items I wanted to point out. The first is that to let the committee know that the MDVA has submitted a capital investment request for funding to cover inflationary increases for the three veterans home projects that are currently under construction. That request includes about $900,000 for the Preston project. And again, that's for inflationary and pandemic-related cost increases. But that request is separate from the request that we are discussing today. And then I would also just like to clarify that when this bill was drafted, the MDVA set the cost of these extras at about $4 million. They recently revised that number to $6.7 million. However, as the project progresses, and Gabby here touched on that, as the project progresses, we move past the drop-dead date for some of these additions. And so that number will continue to fluctuate. And, I believe $4 million is still an accurate number for what many of those extras will be. And the example I would give is that right now, I believe it might be too late to change the roofing material from asphalt to steel. And that would be an example of one of those extras that would have dropped off. But without a doubt, this entrance road will remain and can be added as the project progresses and is very important to the community, to the project. So again, on behalf of the city, Fillmore County, and the Preston Veterans Home Committee, we're just thrilled with all the support that you provided for the project, and we'd be glad to stand for questions if the committee has any.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Hoffman. Member questions. Representative McDonald.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Rep. Davis. Very admirable of this bringing this bill, and I support it. Preston is such a beautiful area with the bluffs, the Lonsdale area, Preston. I'm just curious if you could tell us about the Chester's Butt Nuggets there in your neck of the woods. I hear there's a story to go along that will help members with the bill in support of this.
I see lots of laughing there, so I'll let one of the people from the city of Preston or Representative Davids himself answer that question.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. It's kind of a highlight of the fundraising efforts. We had a young man whose best friend and neighbor is a veteran. And so He sells eggs, correct? Testers, butt nuggets, yep. And so they worked together to do some fundraising, and I can't remember, maybe how much was it that it was significant for a young man selling eggs. And him and Representative Davids, I know you guys got a good shot at the grant or the groundbreaking ceremony, grand opening. We're not there yet. Groundbreaking ceremony. So that was pretty cool. Pretty dedicated young boy to help out his best friend veteran. So we were pretty proud of him.
That's admirable. Representative McDonald, anything else?
No, just thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Rep. Davis, for the explanation. And I think it's impressive that the local dollars that you guys secured for the project is impressive and should be precedent for future projects such as this. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Rep. Davis.
Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And somebody mentioned the fourth quarter. Well, I think we're going into the Super Bowl right now. Looking at three new veterans homes in Minnesota, with Preston and Bemidji and Montevideo. This is just outstanding. I don't know how many other states have a Department of Veterans Affairs like we do. And the Commissioner Turkey and Ben Johnson, their team, I would say they have a team of people that have been able to put these three veterans homes together. And it's just, going down to Preston, it's just, was heartwarming to see everybody turn out. And I think that field used to be a cornfield, but I think we're going to be planning some great activities there. And, when you think about our veterans that are living in our homes, our veterans' homes, that's basically their last mission in life, because they will probably leave there draped up in an American flag. So the most we can do for our veterans is provide a good environment for them in their last mission in life. So, Representative Greg, you have done an outstanding job with the people down in Preston, and I really appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Detmer. Any other member questions? Before I go to final comments, Representative Davids, is I'm excited to see these three new veterans homes come to the state. I was at two of the three groundbreakings. Representative Davids, unfortunately, I think I was catching salmon in Alaska when the one in Preston was open. So my wife would have been not very happy if I would have not made that trip. But anyway, it's exciting times. Any final comments, Representative Davids, on the veterans home in Preston?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And it's been quite a ride here. And when we were asked as a city in the area to raise some money, I had no idea what we'd be able to do, but we raised well over $1 million in a town of about 1,300 people. So that was quite amazing. Everybody that's, I'm going to write a book on this someday, how this whole thing has progressed, and the help of Congressman Hagedorn, the help of Governor Walls. And I'll tell you what, Mr. Chairman, that Commissioner Herkey is very, very good. And while they can't come out right now and say we support this request, and correct me if I'm wrong, somebody from the department, they don't oppose it. So, and we're going to be working with you and with the bonding committee. I'm pulling an old Phyllis Kahn where you put bills in about six different committees. Actually, there's just two, bonding and then, Mr. Chairman, your finance committee. So we need to put this together. I think we can. And I just thank the people of Preston and the area. And I'll never forget the day when Representative Detmer came in my office and we were arguing, we weren't really arguing, but discussing about being able to build one veterans home. And it was Chair Detmer at the time says, why don't we do all three? And I thought, yeah. And then we got Sarah Anderson involved and the rest is history. So we're moving forward. It's being built. It's fun to watch. I drive up there every once in a while. It's fun to watch it going up. And you, Mr. Chairman, and the entire committee will be invited to the ribbon cutting.
Thank you, Representative Davids. I will renew my motion that House File 2561 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. The bill is laid over. Members, Representative Pryor is next on the agenda, but she is not here. She is a vote in one of her other committees, so we will skip forward.
Representative Mr. Chair, sorry. She may be making her way over here. If you want to just pause for about a minute, she's probably switching between Zoom calls now, so she's actually free. If you want to just give her a minute, if she doesn't show up, we can move on. I'd say just give her a minute to see.
Okay.
I'm exchanging texts with her and the committee administrator from her committee, so we're working on.
Nice thing about Zoom is we don't have to go from one floor to another. It's just one click to another. So.
Right. She is not coming down as asked that she be moved to the end of the agenda in our committee today.
All right, Representative Detmer, are you ready for your bill? You'd be the next on the agenda.
Ready to go, Mr. Chair.
All right.
You know, I think a lot of times as us legislators, we find some things that are in current statute that we didn't think about or we didn't know about. And House File 3001, basically, under the current law, county recorders are required to record certificates of military discharge from the United States Army, Navy, Marine Corps without charging. Well, as we all know, we have more than Army, Navy, Marine Corps, and there's other branches of our military that, we forgot about them. So I've asked Mr. Greg Peterson to come aboard here and talk about, in fact, he brought it to my attention, and I had no idea that's been going on, but I think he can explain it well to us for House File 3001. Thank you.
Well, Representative Detmer, we got a little bit ahead of ourselves. We got to do things formally here. So Representative Detmer moves that House File 3001 be referred to the State Government Finance Committee. And Representative Detmer started out with the explanation, so we'll go right to Mr. Greg Peterson for the testifier. Mr. Peterson, welcome back to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you very much, Chair Eklund and committee members. My name is Greg Peterson. I am the Brown County Veterans Service Officer. Today, I submit this testimony as a special advisor to the Minnesota Commanders Task Force, which comprises the 8 state-level commanders of the American Legion, the American Veterans, the Disabled American Veterans, the Jewish War Veterans, the Marine Corps League, Military Order of the Purple Heart, Paralyzed Veterans, and Veterans of Foreign Wars. I'd like to give credit to Mike McLaughlin, who is the Blue Earth County Veterans Service Officer, for identifying the language in the statute as not encompassing all branches of the military. Specifically, it omits the Air Force, the Coast Guard, and now Space Force. My own county, Brown County, experienced a dilemma in 1992 when an astute county veteran service officer realized that we were providing free grave plots to Air Force veterans, which was contrary to a 1917 statute, 375.37, which provided free burials for soldiers, sailors, and Marines. And in that year, 1992, there was actually Assistant Attorney General Merwin Peterson opined that since the Air Force was split off from the Army, it seemed reasonable that we could allow Air Force burials. And then later that next year, in the next session, the statute language was changed just to the definition of a veteran. So, our statute 386.20, I did a little research on it, and it came into being in 1919, specifying Army, Navy, and Marine Corps. While there have been at least 6 updates to the statute, this particular language has remained fixed since 1919. For statistical purposes, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs has reported that in calendar year 21, they tabulated 5,300 discharges from all branches of the service coming into the state of Minnesota. However, over 4,000 of those are from the Minnesota National Guard, Minnesota Air National Guard, and the reserves. There were 168 Air Force discharges last year and 8 Coast Guard discharges and no Space Force discharges. There's no indication that any county recorder has charged a fee to record a discharge from an Air Force or Coast Guard member. And I believe that all our county recorders are following an unwritten guide that they provide recording free of charge for all branches of the armed forces of the United States. The Commander's Task Force concurs with this language, which will always encompass all branches of the armed forces. Do you have any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Any member questions? This looks like we're going to have a quick day today. Representative, Representative Dettmer, any final, I'll comment. It's, you know, thank you for finding this, Mr. Peterson and others have worked on it, because obviously we want to make sure that we encompass all branches of our services for this type of thing. And people need the respect and acknowledgement that they have coming. So I'll leave it at that and let Representative Dettmer wrap it up.
Well, just thank you, Mr. Chair, and the committee members, and Mr. Peterson for doing you and your people doing the research on this and bringing it forward. I think it's always good to take a look at our current statute and see where we can improve it, and especially in this case, improve it for all branches of our military. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Representative Dettmer. Representative Dettmer renews his motion that House File 3001 be referred to State Government Finance Committee. Committee Legislative Assistant, Mr. Petrie, will take the roll.
Chair Eklund.
Yes.
Chair Eklund, yes. Representative Zhang.
Yes.
Representative Zhang, yes. Representative Dettmer.
Yes.
Representative Dettmer, yes. Representative McDonald. Representative Berg.
Berg, yes.
Representative Berg, yes. Representative Bliss.
Yes.
Representative Bliss, yes. Representative Edelson.
Yes.
Representative Edelson, yes. Representative Frederick.
Yes.
Representative Frederick, yes. Representative Greenman.
Yes.
Representative Greenman, yes. Representative Nelson.
Nelson votes yes.
Representative Nelson, yes. Representative Raleigh.
Raleigh, yes.
Representative Raleigh, yes. Representative Sundin.
Yes.
Representative Sundin, yes. And Representative McDonald.
McDonald, yes.
Representative McDonald, yes. And Mr. Chair, we have 12 ayes and 0 nays.
12 ayes and 0 nays. The motion is adopted. The bill is referred to State Government Finance.
Thank you.
The third bill on the agenda is House File 3036 from Representative Edelson. Representative Edelson moves that House File 3036 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Representative Edelson, you also have the A2 amendment. Would you care to describe the amendment?
Thank you, Chair. The amendment just takes out the word fundraising. And so it's a technical amendment. If the committee would adopt it, I would be grateful.
Any member questions on the amendment? Any member questions on the amendment? Representative Edelson moves the A2 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say nay. The amendment is adopted. Representative Olson, do you want to proceed with your bill?
Yes, please. Thank you, Chair. Committee members, good to see you. House File 3036 is an appropriation of $468,000 in 2023 as well as 2024. What this bill does is it appropriates funds to the Metro Meals on Wheels program, and it specifically has a home delivery model that would help veterans. With this, Meals on Wheels, the metro area serves 33 programs, or has 33 locations, and they, I believe, serve 6 different counties, though I do have somebody from Metro Meals on Wheels here. During the pandemic, the last 2 years, they've seen an increase of about 50% with COVID. We know that meal delivery during the pandemic, I volunteered with Help at Your Door, and it's such an, like, we know that getting meals to people in their home actually helps keep them in their home. And so this is just a great way to do that. And I have Dave Colling as my testifier, who's going to be the expert on all the great work. And so would love to go and move to him, Chair.
Thank you, Representative Edelson. The testifier I have is Pat Rowan, or do we have 2 testifiers today?
Thank you, Chair and committee members. My name is Patrick Rowan. I'm the executive director at Metro Meals on Wheels, and I'd be happy to speak on behalf of Meals on Wheels, but my colleague Dave Colling is in attendance as well. So as a Representative Edelson mentioned, Meals on Wheels has really been thrust to the forefront of, home delivery of nutritious meals over the pandemic. We've seen a 50% increase in the number of people that we serve. We work with 33 different Meals on Wheels providers throughout the Twin Cities area to ensure that they have, the resources that they need to provide meals to anybody that needs it. We do that through outreach, fundraising. We operate a call center on behalf of our member agencies, as well as a centralized kitchen. So like I said, I'm sure you can imagine the last 2 years have just been amazing as far as the demand for Meals on Wheels. One of the things that we were able to do, thanks to some other resources, is open up Meals on Wheels to a broader population. So I think Meals on Wheels is typically thought of as an older, elderly service for the elderly and our older neighbors. But through some grants through the Department of Education, we were able to the last two years, serve people of all different ages. And, I think one of the things that we really noticed is that it really, getting that daily visit from a volunteer and those nutritious meals relieves social isolation. Folks that are getting Meals on Wheels report a 60% or 60% less likely to report that they have feelings of loneliness and isolation. So we're in support of House File 3036. Because we know that our veterans have a lot of the same, needs that our older Americans do, whether that's different, comorbidities or other conditions that they're dealing with, maybe a lower income or a lack of connection to other folks in the community, or the ability to prepare their own meals. So I just wanted to say that also that we have several other partnerships that would be similar to this arrangement with Veterans Affairs. So we have the ability to work directly with veterans as well as that are not only receiving meals, but also have, there's a program in place where they would be working to volunteer to deliver the meals as well. So that's something that we are well positioned to coordinate throughout the Twin Cities. We have similar examples working with DHS, with the Minnesota Board on Aging, as well as Allina Health and health partners to provide that service. So please support House File 3036. We're excited to work with the veterans community to make sure that they can remain happy and healthy in their own homes.
Thank you, Mr. Rowan. Mr. Calling, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Well, my name is Dave Colling. I'm with Metro Meals on Wheels. I'm just here to help answer any questions that may come up. Patrick said everything I think we need to say there.
Thank you, and thank you for coming to the committee today. Member questions, Representative Raleigh.
Thank you, Chair. Appreciate it very much. I think the question will be to the testifiers. It looks like this is requesting $536,000 over 2 years. About how many veterans will be served with this $536,000?
Mr. Calling, whoever could take that.
Thank you, Chair Eklund. I'd be happy to do that. Mr. Raleigh, we estimate about 900 veterans each year would be able to receive five meals a week through this program.
Representative Raleigh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just need a second to write that down. So it's 900 veterans per year at five meals per week. Got it. Okay. The two follow-up questions to that are, will this be only in the Twin Cities area, or is this going to be expanded out beyond the metro area? And then the other question was, what's the reasoning for asking for 2 years? Is it to do a proof of concept and then come back to the committee? Or kind of what's the general reasoning on this one? That would be to the author, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Edelson or Mr. Rowan, whoever could answer the first question. I know the second was definitely for Representative Edelson. So, Mr. Rowan.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Raleigh, I'd be happy to answer that question. The idea is that, yes, we would like to establish that relationship with the Department of Veterans Affairs, show that this work can be done. And we do have outstate partners like Lutheran Social Services that we would be excited to partner with in future years for services outstate.
And Representative Edelson for the second question.
Well, I think actually the testifier, Mr. Rowan, I guess Representative Raleigh, you want me to further elaborate on what he... Okay.
Oh, you got it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further questions, Representative Raleigh? Any other member questions? Well, I'll comment quickly on this one. When Representative Edelson asked me to sign on to it, I was happy to. And then I talked to Commissioner Herkey and Mr. Johnson at Department of Veterans Affairs. They think this will be a good program to coincide with their suicide prevention plan that they're implementing, because a lot of times all veterans need is a personal contact, and they will be able to help check in, find out if we have veterans in trouble, and they just think this is going to be a good program overall going forward to help out with these different programs that the MDVA is starting to set up. I see Representative Sundin has his hand up. Representative Sundin, you're muted there, my friend.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the testifier, I'm just wondering exactly how do you identify the veterans you want to service? Do you access those county records that were referenced in the earlier bill?
Mr. Rowan.
Chair Eklund, Representative Sundin, I'll actually refer to my colleague, Dave, who's had a little more detailed conversations with Veterans Affairs on this.
Mr. Pauling.
Yes, thank you, sir. Well, we're talking with the Department of Veterans Affairs. They've got, they'll be referring most of the individuals to us early on. So there'll be a couple different ways. I think we'll see folks they're already working with. Especially homeless veterans, those that are in shelters, those that are in hotels that are in vet spaces that the VA is paying for, could see to be some of the first ones enrolled. But also, as Mr. Rowan mentioned, our 33 partners that we work with as well, they will be letting folks know in their local communities that this program will become available too. So it'll be kind of both directions from the VA and from our local partners.
Representative Sundin.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Colling.
I see that we've triggered some more conversation. Representative Raleigh. Oh, wait, Representative Raleigh, Representative Detmer hasn't asked a question yet, so I'll go to him first. Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I see Mr. Ben Johnson is available online here. Maybe he could just give us a little update on how many veterans do they feel would benefit from this program. I think it's going to be a good program, and maybe the department can tie in here.
Mr. Johnson, if you feel comfortable talking about this, please identify yourself for the record, and welcome back.
Thank you, Chair Eklund. Ben Johnson, Legislative Director for MDVA. I'm from my phone, so the video is not worth your time. To Chair Detmer, your question, sir, we haven't done a full analysis of how many it would impact. We do have our by name list of veterans on the Homeless Veterans Registry that we think could benefit from the program. And we know that the largest concentration of veterans in the state are in the 7-county metro area. So we feel that this potentially could meet the needs of a significant number, but we haven't done a full analysis, sir.
Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Chair. And maybe when the department gets those numbers together, they could just share it with our committee. Thank you so much.
Any other follow-ups, Representative Detmer?
That's it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Raleigh, did you take your hand down?
Yes, Chair. It was up from before. Thank you.
All right. I seeing no other member questions. Any final comments, Representative Edelson?
No, I just hope it gets included in the omnibus. Thank you.
All right. Representative Edelson renews her motion that House File 3036 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. The bill is laid over. Mr. Reese, is Representative Pryor here?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative Pryor, welcome to the committee. Next, we have House File 1123 from Representative Pryor. This bill is not in our possession as it is currently with the Transportation Committee, but we decided to give it an informational hearing today. Representative Pryor, please introduce your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. It's an honor to be here again today virtually. Let me tell you a brief introduction to this bill. It was an idea that I first heard in 2018 from my constituent, Mr. Jim O'Neill, who will be one of my testifiers today. I introduced the bill in 2018, but I did it after committees were no longer hearing bills, so I know that there was no opportunity to hear it. But then in 2020, this idea did come forward, and we did have a hearing in the Veterans Committee, and many of you were on that committee and did have an opportunity to hear it. The basis of the idea is that we have right now license plates, special license plates that says, say, Bronze Star Vets, Silver Star Vets, but we do not have a license plate that identifies the air medal. And that is an omission in our state. So I'd like to turn to my testifier right now about the importance of also having this special license plates to honor these veterans and these active duty service people that have received the air medal. With that, Mr. Chair, I would like to introduce Mr. Jim O'Neill.
Jim O'Neill, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Jim O'Neill, and I'm an Air Force veteran, as Lori said. I testified before the committee, I'm not sure if it was this one or a different one, in 2020. So I'll go over briefly what I had testified before, kind of speed it up, because I think Greg Peterson might also be testifying. But I'm an Air Force veteran. I received my commission through the Air Force ROTC program at St. Thomas, and I served on active duty from March 17, 1967 through March 17, 1971. I served in Vietnam and Thailand from September 30th, 1969 to October 1st, 1970. I was first stationed in Saigon, Vietnam as part of the Air Force, 7th Air Force Battle Staff. And my position there ran from October 1st, 69 till January 30th, 70. At that time, I was transferred to the Airborne Battle Staff flying out of Udorn Air Force Base in Thailand. And I served in that position from February 1st through October 1st of 1970. During this time, I flew 57 combat missions that totaled 718 combat hours. During this time, I was awarded two air medals. After my service there, I returned to the United States. And after my four-year commitment was up, I returned to civilian life and returned to the state of Minnesota. I then went to work for Xerox Corporation in sales. There was not much discussion about my time in the service in the military or in Vietnam at that time. Was not a real popular war by the time I got back. So most of the fellows that I worked with that had were in the service had the same experience as I did. I then attended grad school, Mankato State University Extended Campus in the Twin Cities. And I met the commander of the 934th Tactical Air Guard. I joined the reserves, and I served in the Air Force Reserve for about 14 years. Around the time of 9/11, I had decided to purchase Vietnam vet plates. And I really didn't expect anything from this other than just to show the support of the people that were enlisting in the service that, you know, defend our country against the attack that happened on 9/11. But one day when I came out to my car after going out to lunch, I found a note on my windshield from a woman and her young children thanking me for my service. And that was the first time since I had returned from Vietnam, which was about 30 years at that time, that I ever received any type of recognition and thanks for my service. Since that time, because of the Vietnam vet plates, I've had numerous occasions to be stopped by all sorts of people, veterans and non-veterans, with similar thanks and sharing of their experiences in the service. I feel the Air Medal would help veterans that flew during this time in the service to connect with each other. The Air Medal and the Bronze Star are kind of equivalent. The Air Medal is something that air crew members that serve in combat receive, similar to what the ground troops receive as far as the Bronze Star. The Air Medal spans all branches of the service and all ranks. information that was just shared previously about how many veterans in Minnesota are have been air crew members is something that I think is of interest, and I didn't talk about last time because I didn't have that data. But if there are, you know, people like 4,000 plus people that have been in the Air Force or in any type of air units, I think this would be something that would be something that a lot of the veterans would want. In Minnesota, we have retired Air Force people, retired Navy people, retired Army people, all who have been air crew members. We have Air Force Reserve Unit here. We have the Minnesota Air Guard Unit here. We have Army Reserve Unit and the Army National Guard Unit, all which have people who serve in air crew capacities. One of the things that I handed out in my first testimony in 2020 was samples of other states that have air metal license plates. About half of the U.S. states do have air metal plates. Texas, Virginia, Georgia, Mississippi are just a few of the ones that I had as an example. I think in the information that Greg Peterson had, he showed some examples of what the air metal plate would look like. Just to wrap up, I think what an air metal plate would do would enable vets to connect with each other and to share their experiences, and it would not just be in the conflict that they were in, but over different generations, World War II vets, Korean vets, Vietnam vets, Iraqi and Afghanistan vets. And I think it would help each other or could help each other in this communication to help them reconnect with civilian life. I was lucky. I didn't have too many negative experiences or any at all when I came back to join the civilian ranks after my 4 years in the service. But I do know that there are a lot of veterans out there that they just enjoy talking to other veterans that can empathize or, you know, relate to some of the experiences that they've had. I've lived in Minnesota for over 50 years. We moved here in 1961, and I spent 4 years out of state when I was in the service. And I've never really asked the state for anything for myself. But I'll be 79 this year in April, and I never realized or thought that this request could be either so difficult or take so long. So I'm hoping that this request and what Laurie and Senator, I have a hard time pronouncing his name.
Swedzinski, if you allow me to pop in. Senator Swedzinski, Steve Swedzinski. Yeah.
Anyhow, you know, they've been great in supporting this, and I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but I'm hoping it does. So thanks for listening to me. I don't know if you have any questions. If not, that's the end of my testimony.
Thank you, Mr. O'Neill. Representative Pryor, was Mr. Peterson, Greg Peterson, going to comment too? All right.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Peterson, welcome back to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you for having me back, Greg Peterson, Minnesota Association of County Veterans Service Officers. And I wanted to just go back on veterans homes. I'm at the Hastings Veterans Home right now. I brought a Lutheran minister over here to meet with a church member that lives here. So I volunteered to come on over. And thankful that Hastings was able to hook me up with their Wi-Fi password. I represent, again, as Special Advisor to the Minnesota Commander's Task Force for Authenticity. I served in the Air Force for 23 years as an aircraft loadmaster. I achieved over 6,500 hours of flight time on the C-141 Starlifter and the C-17 Globemaster III jet transports. I received one air medal in 1996 supporting NATO's forces in Bosnia and Herzegovina. The Air Medal is a military decoration of the United States. It was created in 1942 and is awarded for single acts of heroism or meritorious achievement while participating in aerial flight. The medal is a bronze compass rose, so it looks like. It has 16 points with a fleur-de-lis design at the top. and in the center is an American eagle that is diving downward, clutching lightning bolts in each of its talons. In my opinion, the Air Medal is the aerial equivalent of the Bronze Star Medal, which is awarded for heroic achievement, heroic service, meritorious achievement, or meritorious service in a combat zone. Minnesota Department of Public Safety has a report out from fiscal year 19 that says there are 767 Bronze Star license plates in the fleet. It's likely true that all hearing this testimony have traveled by air at some point in their lives. You've experienced the exhilarations of the raw power during takeoff, a lump in your throat when the craft leaves the earth, fleeting fear when a sudden drop creates a moment of weightlessness, and the joy when you're back on the ground. Military aviators feel these sensations on a daily basis, except they're flying into airfields in foreign and hostile lands, usually at night and in poor weather conditions, and often receiving hostile ground fire. When our aviators' missions succeed, our national objectives also succeed. Just a week ago, U.S. Special Operations aviators flew a long-range helicopter raid to capture an ISIS leader in northwest Syria. President Biden praised the skill and bravery of our armed forces and said that all Americans have returned safely from the operation. These aviators will be awarded the Air Medal for their heroic actions, and the strike force that charged into the compound on foot will be awarded Bronze Star medals. Those special operators perform the mission as one team, and I come as one team through the commander's task force, and encourage you to bring this bill to the governor's desk so Minnesota's aviators can display their Air Medal as we do for the Bronze Star Medal. I happen to be a charter member of the American Legion Riders in New Ulm, so I'd like to see a motorcycle version of the Air Medal plate. And I know this hearing is just for information only, but I wanted to let you know that House File 3168, let you jot that down, House File 3168 has already been introduced, and it will remove special plate authority from the legislature and push it off to the Department of Public Safety Commissioner. Now, we don't know what the Department of Public Safety will come up with for a process for those of us that have been trying to push this Air Medal through for the past 3 years, but we would like to see it passed now in the existing legislative format that has given all of the other special plates their home on the fleet of Minnesota cars. Another note, I've never met Jim O'Neill in person, but he and I have connected over Facebook through the Air Medal Society, which has thousands of members. And the Air Medal license plate is one of pride. There's always people posting on there showing us in Texas, I got my plates today. There's even people that have moved from state to state so they can adorn their vehicles with Air Medal plates. I thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Member questions for the test fires that represent Pryor. Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this could be for Mr. Peterson, probably. Do we have a number of Air Medal recipients in Minnesota? How many numbers? How many men and women are we talking about?
Mr. Peterson.
Yes, Chairman Eklund and Representative Detmer, I don't know. One of my customers, I was kind of knocked me off my feet when I looked at his DD-214 as we were about to start a disability claim. He was a door gunner in Vietnam, and he had 20 Air Medals himself, just one man. In my small legion in Lafayette, Minnesota, there's another retired aviator from the Navy, and I asked him, I said, hey, you got an Air Medal? Yeah, I got an Air Medal. But I don't have any idea how many there would be.
Okay.
Representative Detmer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe that information could get back to the committee. I know this is just a hearing, informational hearing, but that would be good for us to know you know, how many men and women we have in Minnesota that would qualify for under this legislation.
Thank you, Representative Detmer. Any other member questions? Seeing none, Representative Pryor, let's talk afterwards and see what we can do, if I can be helpful. Any final comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you heard in the testimony, time's running out for this important bill. And just as a question of fairness and respect and honor to all of our service branches, I hope that we can get the Air Medal passed this year.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. And I forgot to say, Mr. Peterson, I will look up House File 3168 and see what it has to say. Thank you, Representative Pryor, for bringing this bill today. Any further questions or comments from members? We got off a little light today. All right, seeing none, our next meeting will be this Friday, February 11th at 2022 at 10:30 a.m. We have one bill on the agenda that morning. We are adjourned.